Shyness and social anxiety. Mood Juice self-help guide. Learn more about social anxiety and skills to cope with it. Approximate recording time, 45 minutes. You can skip through the tracks in this recording to find the beginning of each section. Self-help for social anxiety. Do you feel anxious or self-conscious during social situations, for example parties, eating in public or one-to-one conversations? Do you find it hard to participate in the things you want to because of your shyness? Do you tend to avoid speaking to people when you can? Do you worry that people think badly of you in social settings? Do you worry that you have nothing interesting to contribute to conversations? Do you worry that you are the centre of attention and everyone can see how anxious you are? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, you may be experiencing symptoms of social anxiety and you may find this workbook helpful. This workbook aims to help you to recognise whether you may be experiencing symptoms of social anxiety, understand what social anxiety is, what causes it and what keeps it going, and find ways to reduce your social anxiety. Do I have symptoms of social anxiety? If you are socially anxious, it is likely that you will experience some of the symptoms described below. Please complete the form in the print version of this document or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Please tick the boxes which describe your feelings, physical symptoms, thoughts and behaviour patterns when in social settings. Feelings: anxious or on edge, vulnerable or under the spotlight, self-conscious or out of place, or embarrassed. Physical symptoms: face goes red, blushes, butterflies in stomach or stomach churns, heart races, voice goes shaky or body trembles, sweat, dizzy or lightheaded, or breathing changes. Thoughts: I have nothing interesting to say, I'm boring. Everyone is staring at me. People can tell how anxious I am. I'll stammer or I'll blush. I mustn't look anxious. Or I look and sound stupid. And behaviour patterns: you avoid social situations. You make a quick exit from social situations. You stay in the background or hide away. You stay quiet to not make a fool of yourself. You always take a friend with you. Or you drink alcohol for courage beforehand. If you have ticked a number of these boxes, you may be experiencing symptoms of social anxiety. However, don't be alarmed. This is very common and there are things you can do to help. You will find some useful strategies in this workbook. What is social anxiety? Social anxiety is the term used to describe a high level of shyness. Of course, everyone feels shy or anxious in certain social environments, but for some people it can be a little more extreme. When this is the case, it has a very debilitating effect on their lives and stops them doing the things they would like to. For example, it may affect their confidence to go to college or work and impact on their confidence to make friends and enjoy their hobbies. Situations that people often experience social anxiety in include public speaking, talking to authority figures, talking to a group of people or an individual, eating in public, or any performance-based situations. When in such situations, people can often experience many uncomfortable physical symptoms of anxiety. These include butterflies in their stomach, a rapid heartbeat, blushing, and sweating. They often worry that others will notice these symptoms and judge them negatively as a result. Socially anxious people often feel under the spotlight and believe that everyone is thinking badly of them. They often hold beliefs that they are no good socially, are boring, and that they have nothing interesting to contribute. After social events, they tend to pick out parts that they believe went poorly and beat themselves up over them. To cope with social anxiety, people tend to avoid social situations if possible. For example, pubs, canteens, queues, etc. If they can't avoid them, they tend to try and stay in the background and attract as little attention to themselves as possible. For example, say very little. What causes social anxiety? Behavioural explanations. One theory suggests that we develop social anxiety because of our past experiences. For example, if an infant touched an oven door, the pain from this experience would quickly teach them that oven doors are dangerous and should be avoided in the future. Similarly, it may be that social situations which once posed us no fear were influenced in a similar way. For example, if someone felt embarrassed or humiliated in a previous social situation, for example when talking to a small group of people, they may worry that similar situations will go the same way in the future. As a result, they begin to fear and avoid them. Thinking styles. Another theory suggests that some people have a thinking style that lends itself to developing social anxiety. For example, socially anxious people are more likely to predict that they will perform poorly in social situations. They also tend to think that everyone is paying close attention to them and scrutinising what they are doing or saying. Socially anxious people also tend to hold negative beliefs about their ability in social situations. For example, they may believe they are boring or have nothing interesting to contribute. Of course, thinking in these ways can lead to high levels of social anxiety. Evolutionary reasons. It is also possible that people develop social anxiety because of evolutionary factors. To understand this, it is worth considering that humans are generally a sociable species, who tend to thrive in the company of others. Because of this, it makes sense that people prefer to avoid upsetting others and ultimately being rejected. It therefore seems plausible that socially anxious people are simply slightly oversensitive to being negatively evaluated due to the disadvantages this brings. This could explain why socially anxious people go out of their way not to offend others. Biological reasons. It has also been suggested that social anxiety has familial ties. In other words, if someone in your immediate family is socially anxious, there is a higher chance that you will have similar personality traits. It is therefore thought that our genetic makeup plays a role in the levels of social anxiety we experience. In reality, it is likely that a combination of these factors play a role in the development of social anxiety. However, in some ways, it is less important to know what causes social anxiety and more important to know what stops us overcoming it. What prevents us overcoming social anxiety? Unhelpful thoughts. People's unhelpful thoughts and predictions make it more difficult for them to overcome their social anxiety. As discussed earlier, socially anxious people often hold unhelpful thoughts about themselves and their ability in social situations. For example, I'm dull or I'm weird. This, of course, lowers their confidence and makes it harder to become involved in social situations. This, in turn, means they rarely get the chance to test out their social skills and prove they can interact well. Unhelpful thoughts also typically play a damaging role just prior to people entering social environments, as they predict they will perform poorly. For example, I'll have nothing to say. Similarly, unhelpful thoughts influence people during social situations. For example, I'm making a fool of myself, as they assume they are not coming across well. To make matters worse, after social situations, people often analyse their performance and assume they have performed poorly. When considering these factors, it is easy to see how unhelpful thoughts stop people overcoming their social anxiety. Avoidance. As mentioned earlier, socially anxious people tend to avoid social contact whenever possible. If they cannot avoid it, they tend to try and escape it as quickly as possible. Although this is a very understandable way of coping with social anxiety, it is actually one of the main reasons that people find it hard to overcome. This is because by avoiding social situations, people stop themselves having positive experiences that could disprove some of their unhelpful thoughts. Furthermore, the longer someone avoids a social situation, the more daunting it becomes, and it is increasingly difficult to face. Using safety behaviours. Often, the only time that socially anxious people feel comfortable in social settings is when they use what is known as safety behaviour. Examples of safety behaviours include trying to stay in the background on social occasions, remaining quiet during group conversations, sticking closely beside those they know well, avoiding eye contact or drinking alcohol for extra courage. Basically, a safety behaviour is anything people do to try and make it easier to cope in social situations. Although such safety behaviours help people feel slightly better at the time, they are actually unhelpful strategies in the longer term. This is because, like avoidance, safety behaviours stop people from having the opportunity to prove that they can cope well, without putting such precautions into place. Instead, safety behaviours allow people to put their successes down to other factors. For example, I only achieved that because my friend was with me. Similarly, by remaining quiet during conversations, they never have the opportunity to show that they would have coped well had they become more involved. As a result, people's confidence remains low and their social anxiety remains. A final point worth noting is that safety behaviours can result in what is known as self-fulfilling prophecies. For example, by staying quiet in social situations, people may come across as distant, and others may respond by making less of an effort. As a result, their beliefs that they can't mix well remain in place. Increased self-focus. People who are socially anxious often spend a lot of time concentrating on their own bodily sensations during social interactions. Unfortunately, this too plays a part in keeping social anxiety going. For example, people often spend time trying to judge whether they are sweating, stammering, shaking, or blushing during social situations. Although they do so in the hope of being reassured that they are not noticeably anxious, this strategy actually just makes things much worse. This is because people tend to overestimate how visible their anxiety is, and this of course makes them feel even more self-conscious. Also, by focusing on themselves, it means that they are not fully focusing on the conversations going on around them. This makes it more difficult to join in properly and strengthens their beliefs that they are no good in such situations. It is likely that a combination of these factors play a role in ensuring people's social anxiety continues. See below for an illustration of how these factors can interact to keep our social anxiety going. A diagram on page 8 of the print version shows a series of boxes in a clockwise circle. Situation, standing in a small group. This leads to thoughts. They think I'm weird. Everyone is staring at me. I don't have anything to say. This leads to feelings, nervous, self-conscious, under the spotlight. This leads to physical symptoms, heart racing, feeling hot or sweating. This leads to thoughts, everyone can notice how anxious I am. This leads to feelings, anxiety levels rise further. This leads to behaviours, stay quiet, make an excuse to leave. This leads to thoughts, it would have been even worse had I not escaped or stayed quiet. This leads back to situation to form a continuous circle. Understanding your problem. Please complete the form on page 9 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Try to fill in something of your own experience. You may begin to understand your difficulties a little better, particularly what patterns may exist and how things interact. A diagram on page 9 of the print version shows a series of boxes in a clockwise circle. The boxes have titles followed by a blank space for you to complete. Situation. This leads to thoughts. This leads to feelings. This leads to physical symptoms. This leads to thoughts. This leads to feelings. This leads to behaviours. This leads to thoughts. This leads back to situation to form a continuous circle. How can I overcome my social anxiety? Fortunately, there are a number of strategies that we can use to reduce our social anxiety. These include 1. Learning how to challenge our unhelpful thoughts and see things in a more realistic light. 2. Reducing our tendency of focusing on ourselves during social interactions. And 3. Removing the use of avoidance and safety behaviours and gradually confronting our fears. When going through this booklet, it can sometimes be more helpful to try out the ideas above one at a time, rather than trying to learn them all at once. However, simply take things at your own pace. Challenging unhelpful thoughts. The way that we think about things has an impact on our social anxiety. Many of these thoughts occur outside of our control and can be negative or unhelpful. It is therefore important to remember that they are just thoughts, without any real basis, and are not necessarily facts. Even though we may believe a lot of our unhelpful thoughts when we are socially anxious, it is good to remember that they should be questioned, as they are often based on wrong assumptions. The following section will help you begin to recognise if you are thinking about things in an unhelpful or unrealistic way, and discuss how you can start to make changes to this. By doing so, you can learn to see things in a more realistic light, which can help to reduce your social anxiety. You might have unhelpful thoughts about all kinds of things. Here are some examples. A drawing on page 11 of the standard print version shows an unhappy girl, with words surrounding her: not pretty enough, not smart enough, not good enough, not funny enough. Before social situations, I'll make a fool of myself, I'll have nothing to say, I'll go bright red or I'll stammer. During social situations, everyone's staring at me, or I'm useless or I'm trembling. After social situations, everyone thought I was an idiot, I'd be better off not even bothering, or I sounded like an idiot. And about yourself, I'm weird, no one likes me, or I'm not very funny. It is clear to see how this kind of thinking might lower our confidence and cause us to feel socially anxious. Do you ever think in any of the ways outlined above? There is space for you to fill in your examples on page 12 of the print version, or detail your answers elsewhere. You might find it difficult to identify an unhelpful thought. Try thinking about a time when you felt socially anxious. Consider what was running through your mind at that time. Patterns of unhelpful thinking. First, you need to be able to recognise an unhelpful thought. Then you can challenge it. Being aware of the common patterns that unhelpful thoughts follow can help you to recognise when you have them. Here are some of the common patterns that our unhelpful thoughts follow. Predicting the future. When we are shy or socially anxious, it is common for us to spend a lot of time thinking about the future and predicting what could go wrong, rather than just letting things be. In the end, most of our predictions don't happen, and we have wasted time and energy being worried and upset about them. For example, you worry that you will go red, stammer, and that everyone will dislike you. Or you assume that you will be the centre of attention and everyone will stare at you. These thoughts naturally make you anxious before you even arrive in a social situation. Mind reading. This means that you make assumptions about others' beliefs without having any real evidence to support them. For example, he thinks I'm an idiot. They think I look ugly. Such ways of thinking can soon lower our mood and self-esteem. Taking things personally. When people are socially anxious or shy, they often take things to heart. For example, because a work colleague is quiet, you assume you have offended them and it is somehow your fault. Or you walk past a group who are laughing and assume the joke is at your expense. Overgeneralising. Based on one isolated incident, you assume that all others will follow a similar pattern in the future. For example, because you believe that one presentation went badly, you assume all others will follow the same pattern, as opposed to seeing it as a one-off. What if statements. Have you ever wondered what if something bad happens? For example, what if nobody likes me? Or what if I run out of things to say? These thoughts also make you dread situations beforehand. Focusing on the negatives. After a social gathering, you tend to focus on the parts of the evening that you believe didn't go well. At the same time, you gloss over positive parts of the evening. For example, you dwell on the one conversation which ran out of steam quickly, whilst forgetting the fact that you mingled well throughout the rest of the evening. Labelling. Do you saddle yourself with negative labels? For example, I'm boring, I'm uninteresting, I'm weird, or I'm unlovable. These often long-held beliefs about yourself ensure your confidence and self-esteem remains low. Do any of your unhelpful thoughts follow some of these patterns? Please complete the form on page 13 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Jot down any examples you can think of into the box below. Unhelpful thought. For example, they thought I was a loser. Category, mind reading. Or, what if no one likes me? Category, what if statement. We can learn techniques to challenge these unhelpful thoughts. This can help to reduce your social anxiety. The next part of this handout will discuss how we can go about challenging our unhelpful thoughts. You may come up with a more balanced thought that is accurate and based on evidence. How to challenge unhelpful thoughts. Once you have recognized an unhelpful thought, the next stage is to challenge it. To do this, you can ask yourself a series of questions. See the example below. Situation. You are due to meet your friend's work colleagues. This leads to how you feel, on edge, self-conscious. Unhelpful thought, I'll have nothing to say and they'll think I'm an idiot. Challenges to an unhelpful thought. Now you can challenge your unhelpful thoughts by asking these questions. 1. Is there any evidence that contradicts this thought? I coped fine last week when I was introduced to my brother's new partner. I never run out of things to say to my friends, so why should this be different? 2. Can you identify any of the patterns of unhelpful thinking described earlier? I'm predicting the future. I'm imagining that it'll go badly, but I can't say for sure how it will go. 3. What would your friend say to you if they knew what you were thinking? They would probably say, "Don't be silly, you're always good company." 4. How will you feel about this in 6 months' time? I probably won't care. Even if it goes wrong, I'll have forgotten about it by then. 5. What are the costs and benefits of thinking in this way? Costs. It's making me nervous before I even go into the situation. It's made me feel inadequate. Benefits. I can't really think of any. And 6. Is there another way of looking at this situation? Even if I don't have anything to say, it's not just up to me to keep conversations going. It's everyone's responsibility. Once you have asked yourself these questions, you should read through your answers. Try to come up with a more balanced or rational view. For example, I can't say for sure how it will go. I coped fine last week in a similar situation, so hopefully this will be the same. If it doesn't go great, it's not the end of the world. Try to apply these questions to the unhelpful thoughts that you notice. It can help to reduce your social anxiety. You can use this technique to test your thoughts are realistic and balanced. Thought diary. Please complete the form on page 16 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Try to challenge your unhelpful thoughts using the table below. Box 1, situation. Box 2, emotion or emotions, or how it makes you feel. Box 3, unhelpful thought or thoughts. Box 4, challenges to unhelpful thought or thoughts. Use the questions below to help. Is there any evidence that contradicts this thought? Can you identify any of the patterns of unhelpful thoughts described above? What would you say to a friend who had this thought in a similar situation? How will you feel about this in 6 months' time? What are the costs and benefits of thinking this way? Benefits, costs. And is there another way of looking at this situation? And box 5, balanced thought or thoughts. Can you think of a more balanced thought that would be more accurate? Reducing internal focus during social interactions. When we are socially anxious, we tend to spend a lot of time concentrating on our own bodily sensations during social interactions. This is because we fear that our anxiety is visible to others. For example, we may spend time trying to judge whether we are sweating, shaking, or blushing. Although we do this in the hope of being reassured that we are not visibly anxious, this strategy actually just makes things much worse. This is because we tend to overestimate how visible our anxiety is, and this, of course, makes us feel even more self-conscious. Also, by focusing on ourselves, we are prevented from fully concentrating on the conversations around us. This naturally makes it more difficult to join in properly, and we usually end up interacting less well than we could. This typically strengthens our beliefs that we are no good in such situations. The reality is that anxiety is a lot less visible than we think. Often we have no idea if someone is anxious or not, and it can help to remember this. Similarly, when we feel socially anxious, we tend to spend time monitoring how well we are performing during social interactions. This too prevents us from paying proper attention to the conversations we are engaged in. For example, we may spend time trying to figure out if our voice sounds shaky, or go over and over the things we have said in our minds. Again, by doing so, we end up finding it hard to follow conversations, which likely makes us perform worse. Given all of this, it is helpful to try to remove this tendency to focus on ourselves. Below you will find tips designed to help you during social interactions. 1. Try to spend less time focusing on your own physical symptoms in social situations. 2. Remember, anxiety is much less visible than you imagine. 3. Even if you are visibly anxious, it does not necessarily mean that you will be thought badly of. Anxiety is something we all experience and does not make you unusual. 4. Just because you feel anxious, it does not mean that you are performing poorly. 5. Remember, you are not the central focus of everyone's attention. There are plenty of other things for people to think and talk about. 6. Really try to concentrate on the conversation you are involved in. Don't think about how you appear or how well you are performing. 7. Don't replay parts of the conversation in your mind. Instead, just focus on what is being said in the present moment. 8. We do not need to perform perfectly or brilliantly in every social interaction we have. No one can achieve such high standards. 9. Don't worry too much if there are silences. Everyone has a responsibility to keep conversations going. Besides, silences are okay and do not always need filled. And 10. Just be yourself. Don't put on a front. Why bother when it is impossible for everyone to like us anyway? The next section discusses how we can begin to gradually confront the situations we have tended to avoid. Try to put these tips into practice whilst you do so. Removing the use of avoidance and safety behaviours. When we are socially anxious, we tend to avoid social situations, for example, parties, speaking in front of small groups, asking for a refund, etc. However, if we keep avoiding the situations we fear, we never get the chance to prove to ourselves that we can cope in them, and our confidence remains low. Similarly, whenever socially anxious people do enter the situations they fear, they tend to use safety behaviours. For example, sticking tightly beside a good friend at a party, staying silent when in a small group to avoid looking foolish, etc. Although these behaviours seem to help in the short term, upon closer inspection they are actually unhelpful. This is because they stop people from learning that they could have coped fine without relying on such precautions. Instead, someone may believe, "I only coped during that party because I had my best friend beside me." So their confidence remains low. Therefore, like avoidance, safety behaviours stop us from learning that we can cope in such situations, and our anxiety towards them continues. A graph on page 18 of the print version shows anxiety against time. There are three lines on the graph. They all show anxiety increasing to a maximum, then decreasing over time. The highest line is labelled exposure 1. Exposure 2 shows a lower maximum level of anxiety and anxiety reducing quicker. Exposure 3 shows a lower maximum level of anxiety again and anxiety reducing quicker again. Because of this, the best way to reduce our anxiety towards social situations is to gradually confront them without relying on safety behaviours. Of course, confronting social situations can be daunting, especially given that our anxiety levels often rise when we do so. However, research shows that if we can stay in a situation that we feel anxious in for long enough, without using our safety behaviours, gradually our anxiety will reduce. It is almost as though our body and mind become used to the situation and our anxiety begins to fall. This may take around 30 minutes or more, but often happens more quickly. More importantly, if we subsequently confront a similar situation again, the amount of anxiety we experience is likely to be less and less on each occasion. Not only this, but it is likely to pass more quickly each time too, until the point that the situation causes us little or no anxiety. Take the example below. Someone who was anxious about spending time in the town centre because they feared that everyone would stare at them. Leads to 1. They made themselves go to the town centre and stay there until their anxiety reduced. And 2. They then repeated that task every day that week. Their anxiety became less and less each time they did so as their confidence grew. Of course, not all the scenarios we fear last very long. For example, having a brief chat with your neighbour in the street. But again, if you repeatedly allow yourself to become involved in a short conversation rather than avoid it, you can begin to prove that you can handle these scenarios much more effectively than you think, and your confidence will soon rise. Having said this, confronting social situations may still be a daunting thought. Fortunately, the 5 steps described next can help to make this more manageable. Step 1. Generating ideas for your exposure hierarchy. As confronting social situations can sometimes be a daunting thought, it can be helpful to do so in a gradual way. Creating an exposure hierarchy can help you to do this. An exposure hierarchy is basically a list of social situations which would cause you varying degrees of anxiety. See the example below. The idea is that you confront the easiest or least anxiety-provoking item on your hierarchy to begin with and work your way through to more difficult items as your confidence grows. Hierarchy items: speaking to a group of friends, asking your boss for a day off work, giving a presentation to a small group of work colleagues, making eye contact with a stranger, asking a shop assistant for a refund, asking a stranger for directions, ordering a pizza, and having a one-on-one conversation with an acquaintance. A box to the right of this list in the standard print version is labelled Predicted Anxiety. Use box 1 of the exposure plan below to list items for your hierarchy. Don't worry about ranking the order of items at this stage. To help you get ideas for your hierarchy, it may help to consider all the social situations and scenarios that make you anxious, you avoid or escape from, or you only confront if you are using a safety behaviour. It is important that the items on your list cause you varying degrees of anxiety. For example, speaking to a small group of friends versus a group of work colleagues. This will allow you to begin work on overcoming your fear, starting with easier items on your hierarchy. Step 2. Ranking your hierarchy. Once you have a list of items for your hierarchy, the next stage is to try to rank them in order of least anxiety-provoking to most anxiety-provoking. To help, try to predict how anxious you believe each item would make you feel on a scale from 0 to 100, where 100 is the most anxious you have ever felt and 0 is the most relaxed you have ever felt. Use box 2 of the exposure plan. Once you have completed this, rearrange the items on your list from least anxiety-provoking to most anxiety-provoking. Use box 3 of the exposure plan below. For example, hierarchy items. Making eye contact with a stranger, predicted anxiety 50. Asking a stranger for directions, predicted anxiety 70. Ordering a pizza, predicted anxiety 55. Asking a shop assistant for a refund, predicted anxiety 60. Having a one-on-one conversation with an acquaintance, predicted anxiety 80. Speaking to a group of friends, predicted anxiety 75. Asking your boss for a day off work, predicted anxiety 90. And giving a presentation to a small group of work colleagues, predicted anxiety 95. Step 3. Confronting the first item on your hierarchy. Once you have finalised your hierarchy, the next step is to confront the first item on it as soon as possible. This is often referred to as an exposure task. This should be the item that you predict will cause you the least amount of anxiety from your list. During exposure tasks, it is important to A. Remember that although your anxiety will initially rise during an exposure task, it will fall if you remain in the situation for long enough. B. Be aware that anxiety is a natural and healthy reaction that everyone experiences. Although it can feel unpleasant, it is not dangerous and will gradually pass if you remain in the situation for long enough. C. Try to remain in the situation until your anxiety reduces by at least half. For example, if your anxiety rises to 50 during an exposure task, you should remain in the situation until it reduces to 25, or preferably less. The amount of time this takes will probably vary from task to task. It may take anything up to 30 to 45 minutes, but commonly happens much more quickly. Note, depending on the nature of the social situation, it may not be possible to remain in it for a long period of time. For example, saying hello to a stranger, talking to a neighbour on the way to your car. This is absolutely fine. Although your anxiety may not have enough time to rise and fall naturally, you will still be able to take confidence from the situation if it goes well, which should make you more comfortable in similar situations in the future. D. Remember that anxiety is not as noticeable as you think. E. Avoid using any safety behaviours as they simply slow down your progress. If it is too hard to remove them all at once, try to gradually reduce them over time. F. Try to focus on the conversations and people around you. Avoid focusing on your own performance or what other people may be thinking. And G. It may also be helpful to try to challenge any unhelpful thoughts you have about that social situation before you do so. See Section 1. It is also worth considering that not all social situations you become involved in can be predicted beforehand. Because of this, it will likely be impossible to follow your hierarchy exactly. For example, a stranger may approach you with a question before you feel ready for this step. However, this is absolutely fine. Should you find yourself in a situation earlier than you would have liked, simply do your best and try and remember some of the tips from Section 2. It may also be difficult to arrange or set up certain situations on your hierarchy, for example, speaking to a group of people. So you may have to be opportunistic and look out for opportunities presenting themselves. Step 4. Repeating the exposure task. Once you have completed your exposure task once, the next step is to do so again, over and over, as often as possible, until the situation no longer makes you feel anxious. you should find that each time you confront the item on your hierarchy, it will become slightly easier. As a rule of thumb, try to ensure that you engage in your exposure task every day if you can. Remember that the more often you expose yourself to an item on your hierarchy, the quicker you will overcome your fear towards it. Step 5. Moving on to the next item on your hierarchy. Once you have overcome your fear towards the first item on your hierarchy, you should follow the same steps with the next item on your hierarchy. Continue through your hierarchy in this manner until you have reached the top and feel more confident about social situations. Remember that as you progress through each stage of your hierarchy, your confidence will grow. This should mean that items which are higher on your hierarchy, that seemed very daunting at first, will be less frightening when you actually come to face them because of your previous achievements. Troubleshooting. A. If you attempt an exposure task and it does not go as well as you had hoped, try not to worry, as this can happen from time to time. Try again as soon as you can. B. If the exposure task still seems too hard, see if you can build in an extra step or two before it on your hierarchy. This will allow your confidence to grow further before facing it. For example, exposure hierarchy, making eye contact with a stranger, ordering a pizza, and asking a stranger for directions. Amended hierarchy, making eye contact with a stranger, saying hello to a stranger in the street, asking a stranger for directions, ordering a pizza over the phone, and order a pizza in person. And C. If you find that your anxiety is not reducing during an exposure task, ask yourself, are you using a safety behaviour which is preventing you from fully confronting your fear? Exposure plan. Please complete the form on page 22 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Make a list of all the things that you avoid or make you anxious. Use a scale from not anxious, 0, to extremely anxious, 100, to describe how difficult you think each situation might be. Then you can put them into an order to work on. Box 1. Hierarchy items. Box 2. Predicted anxiety. To correspond with each hierarchy item. Anxiety rated 0 to 100. This leads to Box 3. Exposure hierarchy. Items listed number 1 to 12. Final word. We hope that you found some of the ideas in this booklet useful. You can continue to use the techniques you found helpful long into the future, and they should continue to benefit you. If some of the ideas are not particularly helpful at first, it is perhaps worth sticking with them for a few weeks to give them a chance to work. If, however, you feel your situation remains largely unchanged, or if you did not find this booklet useful, you should speak to your GP, who can tell you about the other options available which you could find helpful. Further information and resources. For further information and self-help resources, go to Fife's Mood Cafe website, www.moodcafe.co.uk, or to Mood Juice online, www.moodjuice.scot.nhs.uk. Further information and resources. For further information and self-help resources, go to Fife's Mood Cafe website, www.moodcafe.co.uk, or to Mood Juice online, www.moodjuice.scot.nhs.uk. End of recording.